You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Asthma, it's normal in Auckland.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95BFM.
Oh, morena Celine, how are you?
Kia ora, I'm all right, yes.
That's good
to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back. It's been a wee while and we've definitely had a few messages come through. Renting woes do not sleep, I'm afraid.
No, they definitely do not.
Well, we're going to get stuck into this first one here, which feels topical for the time. I'm sure people all noticed hoardings pop up around the last couple of days in the city. Someone said, hey, Celine, can I stick a political hoarding on my fence without asking my landlord? I don't think we're going to be backing the same candidate, lol. Also, on the flip side, can he put one on our fence since he owns it?
Yes, this is very topical. And as per usual, there's not really a clear answer, but I think that's more to do with different council bylaws. So
right.
Depending on where you are in the country, the way they kind of frame where you can put political hoardings really changes. So I think in Auckland, it seems like you need the consent of the occupier. So you might want to look into that in terms of whether, if one turns up on your fence, I think you have some grounds to argue that you didn't consent to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, you may be able to argue that in terms of that's a breach of your quiet enjoyment, for example,
yep.
To be advertising someone you don't support. But then I think the landlord could probably also argue that if you put up one, that it could be thought of as damage to the property, or there's something else they could draw on to argue against it. There's no kind of specific rules supporting that they can. So I would query it if they did it. And then I guess just as the usual thing, you can try, you can kind of do whatever you feel comfortable doing. We're not really supported to do that, but you're not prohibited either necessarily, though
yeah.
They may disagree.
Ah, the old tenancy grey area.
Oh, yeah, it's
like
all we live in.
Everything in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so six of one, half a dozen of the other, check the bylaws and maybe...
Yeah.
Have a go if you feel comfortable doing that.
Absolutely.
What have you got here, Zoe?
Okay, this person says, could I theoretically be fined for breaking a rule I didn't know about? I threw a party in my apartment a couple of weeks ago and made sure it was wrapped up pretty early and it wasn't that ruckus, but the music was loud for a bit. I thought the rule was that noise had to be stopped past 10 p.m. as that was the case in my old place. However, the building manager got in touch with me and said that there were complaints as the rule is actually zero noise ever and that I could be fined. They aren't going through with it. The building manager is quite nice and I have a good relationship with them. But I'm curious about whether I had come up again, if I had come up against a stricter person, if I could have been fined despite not knowing about this rule.
Yeah, so the trouble with this, I think, is that if you're in an apartment and if you have a building manager and a body corporate or someone is setting the rules, that kind of exists separately outside of tenancy law in a way, I think, or the difficulty is that they both kind of exist, but the rules of the building kind of, you don't have the same protection against them. You've like signed them or agreed to follow them.
Yep.
So the trouble really, I would say, is interior to the building you're in. And it's really just managing that. I don't know what, there's probably specific rules in general about what they're allowed to fine you or things around what body corporates can do or building managers can do to potentially to admonish or kick you out, but I think basically they can decide what they do,
right.
Their rules and then their decision if they feel like you've gone against them. So I would be careful with that and be happy that you have a good relationship with the building manager, but maybe just find out what those rules are, and that's a good reminder as well to try and find out those things before you move into an apartment or a space where there might be a different rule of law, potentially.
So do they not have to explicitly be in the contract necessarily?
I don't know what is actually needed, but I've definitely had trouble with that in terms of when you're dealing with a property manager and renting an apartment, and then what I've heard of some issues with that clashing with what the actual building manager knows, and so I'm not sure about the legality of that. and what they're supposed to tell you.
Right.
Potentially, you are supposed to get all... I'm sure you are supposed to get all of that, but I feel like that's one of those things that often falls by the wayside.
Yeah.
So a good thing to be aware that you will be needing to follow those particular rules and really press your property manager for that information.
Yeah.
But I don't know the exact legality of that, but I can do some more investigation.
Good to know. Okay.
Sleuthing.
Sleuthing, yeah.
That's what I do.
We've got one from someone who said, "Hey, my windows are super drafty. They rattle in the wind. I've asked my landlord to take a look ages ago and she keeps postponing. What's a good way to make sure she actually has a look and gets it fixed ASAP?"
Okay, with this, I used to have rattly windows and I kind of got used to them, and then someone else heard them and was like, this is insane. So I feel like that's kind of a difficult thing. You've got to find the reason that they would need to remedy it. Obviously, they should be fixing that, but I can see how it would be difficult to convince someone that that's really urgent if you're having trouble convincing them to fix things. So I would advise that you could maybe get some advice from Citizens Advice Bureau or something, but then my initial thought is that you can ask for a notice to remedy to get something fixed if they've been ignoring your pleas. So you could look on Tenancy Services and you can give them that kind of 14-day notice to remedy.
Yeah.
But there could be a need to do it quicker if you feel like, one, it goes against Healthy Homes in some way. If the draft or something that is really in the Healthy Homes kind of write-up now, so I would check on that because that might help give you some force. Or if it feels like it's a security issue, that could be another reason that they would really have to get onto it sooner.
Right.
So I would look down both of those avenues, I would say.
Cool. We've had just a couple come through this morning. One that I reckon might be a notice to remedy type of situation as well. Someone said, hey, Celine, we signed a new contract for a brand new flat on the condition that they would fix one of the heat pumps, which is broken before we moved in. We've just moved in and the heat pump is not fixed. Surprise, surprise. What's the best way to get this fixed as soon as possible? And is it something that we can do without causing a big fight? Which is a fair question.
Yeah, it is a fair question. I would say for that kind of thing, just to make sure you kind of do the best approach, I would call the CAB or the Tenants Protection Association, because I'm sure they have been dealing with this exact issue all the time and probably have a lot of kind of evidence of what approach tends to work. So I'm not entirely sure what the best approach would be. I would say it's really just alerting them as soon as possible. I think really letting them know that that's not what was agreed to, but really having the legal backing. So doing some research to make sure you've got a strong argument as to that's meant to be remedied with this amount of time. If it's a Healthy Homes thing, they probably still have 90 days, but I'd be checking some of those things. If there's a loophole with the first 90 days, or whether they really, you can already be kind of putting in a notice to remedy.
Sweet.
But I think you probably need specific help on which way to angle it, but that's not on, so I would just find out how best to kind of make your case when you bring that up.
And our very last one that we've just had come through is from someone who said, any way to know if there's sort of a red flag around a property? We're flat hunting at the moment and this one has been on Trade Me for ages. It seems all good. We went to the viewing. The property manager seems fine. The house seems okay. Wondering why it's been there for so long. Is there anywhere we can look up stuff about this house?
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I know that you two actually might have more knowledge than me about looking up stuff on the Tenancy Tribunal.
Mm.
Can you search for an exact property?
I believe. I think you can search a property address.
Well, that I feel like is a good idea. Potentially also just doing some sleuthing online. You might have found if there's an ongoing issue, there might be a media piece about it. If they've had like kind of nightmare landlord scenario or something else happened, you never know what you'll find. But definitely I would say checking up through the tribunal, checking the property manager if you can, or the landlord, kind of just checking every angle you can just to see what you can find out.
Sweet.
And then maybe the kind of general social networks in Auckland, if there might be someone that's heard something about it.
Totally.
Useful.
Yeah.
Because it is a red flag, I would say. You want to be wary of that.
Totally.
But it might be fine. So do some research, I would say, before you commit to something like that.
Cool. Hey, thank you, Celine. Great advice as always. We'll talk to you again in a fortnight. Take care.
See you soon.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.